furnish the wedding garment for everyone. And it was the same. It looked the same, so that there was no distinction. Clothed by the king, y'all look the same. Now, to make sure you understand spiritually what we're talking about, keep one finger here, and let's go back. See, how would the Jewish leaders hearing the story understand what is about to be said? Someone shows up, and he does not have a wedding garment on. Now, see, they went out and invited everybody, bad or good. But I want you to see that there was a catch-23. You'll be able to tell in the next verses that the invitation has an obvious stipulation. And the stipulation is you must accept the king's garments. You must accept the king's free gift if you're going to come. That's the only catch. The king wants to give you something. It's free. To attend the supper, you have to accept the free gift from the king. Be you good or be you bad? How would the Jews have understood that? Well, see, they knew the Old Testament, and most of you don't. So your brother has done some homework. Turn quickly back with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Look with me, if you would, at verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For, you know, why? Why? For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Immediately your mind, as a good Jew, would have hit that passage. That the king gives to the bride and the bridegroom, furnishes the garments of salvation and the garments of righteousness. As opposed to, there in Isaiah chapter 64, look at the other kind of garment, Isaiah 64:6. In other words, there's only two kind of garments. Now in the Bible, the garment, your garment, represents you. It represents the person that owns the garment. You remember in the blood covenant teachings that the first thing you did to enter into a covenant is you took off your garment and gave it to your blood brother, and he gave you his garment. You swapped coats because the garment represented you, and as you did this, you were saying, I give myself to you. Here I am. Put me on you. And then you did the same for me. And so there's two kinds of garments. Either the king furnishes it or you do. I'd like you to see what the king says about our garment. Verse 6. But we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. It says we're clothed in filthy rags if we're depending on our righteousness. Did you notice in Isaiah 61:10, it said we had the robe of righteousness that the king gave us. So you and I either have the robe that the king gave you with his righteousness, or this robe of righteousness, which is self-righteousness. Now, self-righteousness can seem to be pretty good to us, but God just told us what it is to Him. Filthy rags. Now, the same thought, let me just read this to you, in the New Testament, about putting on garments. See, many of you don't, it doesn't mean much to you. Listen to me as I read from Ephesians 4. It says, if so be that you have heard Him and you have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man. Put off the old man. See, he's talking about your old sin nature like a garment. You just zip that little rascal off and hand it to Jesus, and He puts it on His cross. See, on the cross, we swap clothes with Jesus. He takes our sin natures, our garment, our sin nature, and puts it on Him on the cross and crucifies it. And replaces it with His nature, His garment of salvation, of righteousness. And so it says, put you off the old man. And then in verse 24 it says, and put you on the new man. So the same idea as the garment. And you recall in Romans in 13 verse 14, it says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you getting the idea of these garments, of something you can put on and put off? And it represents the king's garment that the king himself furnishes. Now, to make sure you understand this even better, Joseph's coat of many colors. When the prodigal son came home, his father gave him the special robe. When blind Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, Son of David, help me, save me, help me. And they said, be of good cheer. The master has said, come here, I want to talk to you. And it says that blind Bartimaeus got up and immediately threw off his garment. and came to Jesus. Off with the old man. He's coming to Jesus. You got me? See, this is all through Scripture. The garment. And I could just go on and on about the shepherd's wool coat and that the priest couldn't wear wool when they ministered. No sweat. If you're going to minister, no sweat on your part. Only cotton that breathes. See, I mean, we don't want you sweating. God does the work. You and I get to do the play part. It's the Holy Spirit that saves and convicts. Not us. We just go out and bid on. Come to the supper. Now, to make sure you get a little appreciation of that, I want to see in the book of Esther. Now you can find that, it's in the Old Testament, and take a quick look with me at verse 6. Now you're going to love chapter 6. You're going to love this chapter. I'm just going to briefly give you a background for it. There's a wicked guy that hates the Jews named Haman. And Haman has been promoted in the kingdom of Persia to the number two position. Haman is number two. And he hates Jews. And you'll recall the Jews have been carried away to Babylon captive, and now the Persians and the Medes have conquered the Babylonians. So all these Jews are now under Persian authority. And bad news, Haman is the number two man in the Persian Empire, and he hates Jews. Now the Persian king doesn't. Now Mordecai is a Jew who's been carried away in 597 B.C. into captivity, and he's still there. And Mordecai has been made a minor government official. He's a minor government official working there at the palace, has very little authority, and he overhears two of the king's chamberlains, two of the king's right-hand men, plotting to assassinate the king. And so he reports it. Now, being a conquered Jew, you know, he could keep his mouth shut, probably feel pretty good about it. You know, that's the way a lot of people think. But he understood authority, and that God had placed him under this king's authority. So he reports them and saves the king's life. Here in chapter 6, if you begin reading it, the king can't sleep. It's nighttime and he's having a hard time going to sleep. So he sends for his scribes and says, bring in the records and read to me out of the records and read me to sleep. Instead of Mary had a little lamb, it's King Ahasuerus had a lot of money. Read to me about my money and what's been going on, the affairs of state, and I'll get them in mind, and that's boring, and I'll go to sleep. That's the idea. Well, they read to him, and as they begin to read, the story comes up about how Mordecai had reported these two men, and it had saved his life. And he's the son of a gun. And what did we do to reward this Jew that saved my life, this little minor official? And they look and they say, boss, we hadn't done anything. We've done nothing. He says, that's dreadful. This man saved my life. And he's thinking of something wonderful to do to honor the man that saved his life. And suddenly, in walks Haman. That's late at night, but Haman's still around the palace doing some late business. He's number two man in the government. And the king sees Haman. And he says, Haman. Now, Haman isn't a Persian either. He's a foreigner also. But he's got the number two position. And he calls Haman in. He says, come here. He says, listen, there's a man in the kingdom that I want to honor. And I mean, I want to honor him the most you can be honored. Now, see, when you're lost, your old self-righteousness, sin nature, someone says something nice like that, it's just automatic. He must be me. Who else? Who else could be numero uno? And so, pick the story up in with me at verse 6. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Please observe up here now. Look at the blackboard. Remember, tonight's story is the king is determined to honor his son publicly at a big wedding feast. And the people won't come. He says, now I want to honor someone. What do I do? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? So now he thinks of what he would like have happen to him more than anything else in the world. For some of you, this would blow your minds. This isn't what you choose. It's because you don't really appreciate it. Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king himself is accustomed to wear, and the horse that the king rides upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. He says, dress that man in the king's garments. Did you get that back to Isaiah 61:10? He says, the greatest honor that could ever be afforded to a human being is to bedeck him in the king's own clothing. To let the king himself furnish the garments. Now the man has showed up at this wedding supper without the wedding garment. And yet the Old Testament has taught us that that this is the greatest honor you could receive, is to have the king furnish you. I'm so pleased with you. I want to give you my garments. Can you understand that there is no greater insult that you could give a king than to refuse? You're getting it, aren't you? And then to set him upon the king's own horse. Honey, I'm coming back on one of the king's horses. I read my Bible. In Revelation, all the armies of heaven come back riding horses and clothed in white raiment that the king himself furnishes for you in Revelation 19. I just thought you guys would like to know about this stuff.